Thanks, Brother Michael. My beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, the book of Revelation is much more than a prophetic book which reveals God's work in the nations. It does that, but it also gives commandments and pronounces blessings on those who read and obey. So let's begin by having a look at chapter 1 and verse 3. Because here straight away at the beginning of the book, a blessing is pronounced. Revelation 1 verse 3, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Brother Thomas brought out the meanings of the Greek in his translation, which reads, blessed is he that knows accurately and they who give heed to the words of this prophecy and observe narrowly the things which have been written in it, for the time is near. It's an exhortation to careful individual study and obedience. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 11. Revelation 3 verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. It's clear as we read this book that there are many instructions, commandments, and warnings in it. Are we ready? Are we holding fast that which we have? And these instructions and commandments and warnings are directed to the saints, those who are called to be the sons and daughters of God. Let's just think about our relationship to this book. How much have we benefited from reading and studying it? How much poorer spiritually would we be if the last book in the Bible was Jude and not Revelation? How much has our understanding of Revelation increased in the last 12 months? And how much has that increase helped us to live more Christ-like lives? Are we growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ by our reading of this, his last message? So this morning, by way of exhortation, we're going to have a look at some of the blessings which this book pronounces on a certain class of people. So let's go to Revelation and chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16 and verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. We had a brief look at this last night, but let's look at it a bit more closely. Come back with me to the book of Exodus and chapter 24. Israel have come out of Egypt, and they're now assembled before the Mount Sinai. And they are about to cut the covenant and to have fellowship with their God. Exodus 24 and verse 9. Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the Elohim of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. Also they saw Elohim, and they did eat and drink. So they were in fellowship with God, because the sacrificial offerings for the covenant had been made. Covenants in scripture are always cut and involve the death of the covenant victim. And so we read in verse 4 that Moses wrote all the words of Yahweh and rose up early in the morning and builded an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto Yahweh. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people. And they said, all that Yahweh hath said will we do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which Yahweh hath made with you concerning all these words. And we come together to remember, brothers and sisters, the blood of the new covenant, which was shed to bring us, who were Gentiles and aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, to bring us near unto Yahweh, the God of Israel. And in the emblems upon the table, and particularly the cup, we will remember the blood of the covenant. And then when the nobles of Israel had seen Elohim and did eat and drink, verse 12, Yahweh said unto Moses, come up unto me into the mount and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and the law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. So Moses was at the top of the mount in the presence of God, receiving the law. And Joshua went partway up the mountain, as far as he was allowed to go, and sat there for 40 days and 40 nights, waiting and watching for his Lord Moses to reappear. But meanwhile, down on the plains, return to Exodus 32, the ecclesia had gone futurist. We've considered briefly the futurist view of Revelation in the studies and seen how unhelpful it is to those who are watching and waiting for the coming of the Lord. So Exodus 32 and verse 1, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, which of course was not true, it was God who had brought them up, we wot not what has become of him. Oh, Moses isn't coming back. We've got plenty of time. Let's make ourselves a god. And so they did. They made the golden calf. And when you work out the chronology, they made the golden calf on the 39th day of Moses' sojourn in the mount. They knew it not, but Moses was about to return. They were on the brink of seeing him again. And God, who knows all things, told Moses what had happened. And then we read in verse 15. And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand, the tables written on both their sides. On the one side and on the other were they written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God, graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. Verse 25, when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame, among their enemies. There were no garments. They were not watching. And their Lord Moses appeared. And many of them perished. But Joshua, who was fully clothed and alert and watching for his Lord Moses coming down the mount, lived and became the ruler over Israel. Our Joshua lives. He is in the presence of God in the heavens, as Moses was in the presence of God on the mount. How are we doing? Come back to Revelation and chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17. Because thou sayest, this is the epistle to Laodicea, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, just like the people of Israel in the wilderness. So are we clothed with his righteousness, brothers and sisters? That clothing of righteousness which we can have through the sacrificial work which we remember this morning. Come to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation 19 and verse 9. Here's another blessing. Revelation 19 verse 9. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. How do we ensure that we receive this blessing? We will receive it, brothers and sisters, if we follow the instructions. Verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for fine linen is the righteousness of saints. We have to make ourselves ready for the coming of the Lord. So what's involved in that? Well, keep your marker in Revelation and come back to Psalm 45. Psalm 45 is a wedding psalm. Seems there are a lot of weddings taking place around about now. My daughter is busy making bridesmaids' dresses. So Psalm 45, the wedding psalm. And in this psalm, there is an exhortation to the bride. Verse 10, hearken, O daughter, and consider and incline thine ear. That's a bit like Revelation 1 verse 3, isn't it? Those who give heed to the words of this prophecy and observe narrowly the things which have been written, for the time is near. Hearken, O daughter, and consider and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. It's an exhortation to separation. Revelation 18 verse 4, come out from among them. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. The daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift, even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. And here's the bride in verse 13. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. God doesn't look on the outward appearance. God looks upon the heart. And when Hezekiah came to the throne, he commanded the priests and the Levites to cleanse the temple. And we're told in the historical record that the priests went into the inner part of the temple and carried forth all the filthiness that they found there and gave it to the Levites, and they cast it into the brook Kidron. And the Hebrew word there for the inner part of the temple, the Holy of Holies, which had been defiled by Hezekiah's father, is the same Hebrew word as we have here in verse 13 of the psalm. The king's daughter is all glorious in the inner part, within. So we've got to do what the priests and the Levites did in the time of Hezekiah. Search our hearts and find all the evil that may be there, and bring it forth and cast it away. Think of the preparations for Esther to be the bride of the king. 6 months with ordinary oil and another 6 months with special oils and perfumes. All that oiling and washing and scraping. We, brothers and sisters, need to be constantly active in preparing ourselves for the coming of the one who we're going to remember this morning. Back to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6. Here's another blessing. Revelation 20 verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. We're going to look at this in a bit more detail this afternoon. But let's just focus on the blessing. Who's going to receive this promise to live and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ 1,000 years? Verse 4, I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. It's that Roman beast again that we saw beginning in Daniel chapter 7 and going through Revelation chapter 12 and chapter 13 and chapter 17. And so here are the questions. Are we witnessing for Jesus? They did. Are we holding forth the word of life in this age? The new life in Christ is not just about us being enlightened. We must seek to enlighten others. And we must keep ourselves separate from the humanistic and religious worlds which are around us, that we might receive this promise to live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. Revelation 22 and verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. We've seen a few of the sayings of the book of this prophecy as we have dipped into it over the weekend. How about making a resolution to read the whole of the book and note down all the sayings and then compare notes with others and give us something profitable to talk about? And finally, Revelation 22 and verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. There is a tremendous contrast here between what this verse says and what we read in Genesis 3 concerning Adam. He did not do God's commandment. He hearkened unto the voice of his wife and ate of the fruit which God had forbidden. And therefore, God sent him forth out of the garden to till the ground from which he was taken. And he had no right to enter back into the garden. There were the cherubim and the flaming sword, keeping the way of the tree of life. God didn't take the tree away. That would have said there is no hope. God left the tree there, but he put the cherubim at the gate of the garden, so that the man who had not obeyed God's commandments could not enter in and partake of the tree of life. And we're going to see in the next study that these last chapters of Revelation are absolutely full of language taken from the early chapters of Genesis. God is still working out the same plan that he had before the foundation of the world, when he knew every one of us in Christ, before Genesis 1 verse 1. And we can only do these things, brothers and sisters, on the basis of a right understanding of this wonderful book. None other makes such great promises. Verse 12 of Revelation 22. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Let us eat and drink, brothers and sisters, in remembrance of the Lamb that was slain. And let us occupy ourselves diligently in the time that remains before his second coming, in preparing ourselves to meet him.